This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2196. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded June 22nd, Algeria, Antarctica, Argentina, Azores, Canada, Cuba, Germany, Netherlands, North America, Oklahoma, Peru, Poland, Somalia, South Carolina, Taiwan, UK, USA, Vanuatu, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Bruce Fisher in Florida reports hearing a bit of English from that new Algerian service called Ifriqiya FM, starting with the letter I. This was Wednesday, 21 June, ending at about 1940 UT, so tune in earlier, on 15160. He was getting very good reception via their mode in Holland. We do not know of any specific scheduling for English or other language broadcasts. RA-36 Antarctica seems to have settled into a relatively reliable schedule of roughly 18 to 21 UT on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Manuel Mendez was hearing it on Saturday, 17 June, 15475.98, reduced carrier USB, starting about 18 UT with local time of 15 hours. The program is still called Uniendo Voces, United Voices. And via remote in Argentina, I was hearing the Wednesday, June 21st broadcast, already on the air when I tuned in at 17:52, soon saying good afternoon in Spanish with Señora Menéndez and the usual male host discussing Antarctic, or rather Argentine, topics. Only one of the Argentine remotes was getting a decent signal, and it started fading down and was no longer heard by 2015, but I don't know whether they'd actually turned off that early. And as for Antarctica Non, the special yearly broadcast from BBC World Service to British bases down there, which was Wednesday, June 21st at 21:30. As I mentioned last week, it was tested the week before, and the actual broadcast was widely reported. It seems that listeners in southwestern Canada were getting incredibly good reception direct from Moofordton, UK, which is nowhere near the target area, 12005 and 13810. Here in south central U.S., I was able to hear those frequencies, but I was actually listening via the remote in Holland, which I thought might be too close to Moofordton, but it was getting good reception. Anyhow, it's all over now until next winter solstice in the southern hemisphere. However, the program is available to hear online via BBC Sounds. The complicated Earl has been appearing in the World of Radio IO group, and some others have also recorded it off the air as they heard it. They always announce that the program from Antarctica is actually a joint production with RAI in Buenos Aires and the University of Quilmes. As for RAI programming itself, still relayed via WRMI, I found that the English half hour is now scheduled UT Tuesday through Saturday at 01 on 9395. With good reception over here. However, on Monday night, UT Tuesday, June 20th, they gave the date of production of that program as more than a week earlier, on Monday, June 12th. I'm wondering if there is only one new program produced per week, repeated over and over. Dateline Azores. Bryce Foster says, "Heads up, everyone. Sporadic E from Azores to Cape Cod. In progress up to the FM band now." This was June 21st. At 1307 UT, later he said it faded back down. "My regular from Azores was only confirmed logged live on 87.7 Antenna 3. There were also NIDs on 87.6 and 90.5. He says this has been common over the last two seasons to only hear the 87.7, sometimes strong, and not hear much else. Yes, this seems like fantastic FMDX. But actually, the distance is only about 2,350 miles, which is just about right for double-hop sporadic E. And of course, in the case of transoceanic, there is nothing at the midpoint to interfere. In fact, the ocean surface will reflect it nicely. Anyhow, in the northeastern U.S. or southeastern Canada, you might keep an eye below 88.0 megahertz for Azores or other transatlantic sporadic E FMDX in this season. More reaction to last week's news that Bell was closing down six AM stations in Canada. And incidentally, one shortwave station, Lucas Bandura, NBC, says CKMX, funny 1060 in Calgary, was still there at 1930 UT June 15th, but it and CFVP 6030 were gone by 2129. And Ken Zicke in Michigan, so close to Canada, comments, the usual excuses apply. The Bell Canada internal sources blame the ongoing migration of advertising revenue to foreign digital platforms, such as FB and Google, and a shift from cable, satellite, and fiber TV subscribers to digital streaming platforms, for the shutdowns and never, ever, ever imply they might have something to do with the decline because of their poor programming choices. Allow me to translate corporate speak into English. We don't care enough, aren't smart enough, don't think well enough to plan long-term, and have so focused on short-term gain that we have shot ourselves in the foot and now are bleeding out to the extent we cannot begin to produce quality radio. And yet we somehow want to blame everyone else that our audience has left in droves instead of admitting we blew it by focusing on money instead of the audience. Tony Pavick in BC, producer of Pop Shop Radio, says, this year we'll have two special shows to celebrate Canada Day. The first will be our regular show as follows, Wednesday, June 28th at 16 UT, and Saturday, July 1st at 21, on Channel 292 Germany, 3955 and 9670. Also on WRMI, UT Monday, July 3rd at 0100 on 5950. The show will count down the C-Fantastic 20 from 14 C-Fun Vancouver for 1 July 1967, complete with classic 14 C-Fun jingles. The theme of this show was decided way before Bell Media's announcement that the station's frequency would be going dark, 14 C-Fun. And the second show of Pop Shop Radio airs as follows from Wolverton, UK, UT Saturday, 1 July at 01 on 15715, beamed to North America with 250 kilowatts. Also on Channel 292 Germany, Sunday, 2 July at 19 on 6070. All Canadian content. Something's always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba. Here's something new reported by Wolfgang Büschel in Germany using remotes in Alberta and Michigan. 15130 RAC with Roomba Music at 1426 UT June 21st. But it immediately went off and moved to the proper frequency, 15140. Must have been a keyboard glitch. Checked again at 1435 and 1531. Still with strong signals. Meanwhile, they were parallel to 15230. As for the extraneous English frequency from RHC after 06 UT, on June 22nd at 0635, not on 11670 or 11760, but this time on 9700. With their mailbag. John, the voice of the Report of the Week in Florida, tells us, while it doesn't appear in HFCC schedules, I came across a transmission in Arabic on 15275, and after some digging I found a schedule from Deutsche Welle's website. It appears they have added several Arabic transmissions on shortwave for Sudan, obviously due to the ongoing war. All are from Issoudun, France, and heard Monday through Friday, transmitter power unknown. 15275 and 17800 are for half an hour at 1230 UT, and then again at 1830 on 15275 and 17840. You found this at corporate.dw.com. Look for the link to DW radio programs or shortwave frequencies, summer 2023. Kai Ludwig in Germany replies, very good research. They have neither published a press release nor has there been other publicity so far. So this was indeed the only way to find out. The file is dated 19 June, suggesting broadcast started on Monday. It's a revival after 13 or more years. They took Arabic off shortwave in 2010 or even earlier. So this is indeed a surprise, particularly with the current situation of up to 300 job positions to go from DW and linear TV in German to be closed. We've already reached the letter N in our alphabet. This report from Richard Langley in New Brunswick, filed under Netherlands. I recorded 6170 kHz at about 2147 UT, 15 June, continuing until 0314 on 16 June. The station I had heard briefly the previous evening turned out to be Radio Europe, as reported recently on a new frequency. Signal briefly faded in at 22, but mostly in the noise with a lot of crashes. Buried in the noise for the next hour or so, I recognized some songs. Occasionally there were IDs and a signature tune, the first instrumental bit of a song, United, by Gotthilf Fischer. IDs given by female and male announcers, such as, for South and East Europe, this is Radio Europe, on 6,170 megahertz for shortwave for South and East Europe. This is Radio Europe. And another ID seemed to give the frequency as 6132, must have been an old one before the frequency change. The music played was a bit eclectic. There was one song, Chocolat, by Cash, where it sounded like someone was having an orgasm from chocolate. Kari Kallio in Finland replies, according to IB, Radio Europe from Alphen aan den Rijn in the Netherlands seems to rule as well 6130 and 6170. And Alan Pennington replies, yes, Radio Europe from Alphen aan den Rijn in the Netherlands. Heard late evenings here in the UK, past few nights on 6170, past 22 UT with a variety of continuous music. Manuel Mendez in Spain reports another Netherlands station on 6020, Radio Delta International, but relaying, as we mentioned before, Radio Monique at 05 UT 17 June in Dutch and English with comments, ID, and songs. We file pirates typically under North America. They're very likely in the U.S., but just possibly in Mexico or Canada, such as Radio Channel Eastern Star. Ron Howard in California has been monitoring this a lot. He says, heard on 7399.83, June 18th, a definite improvement in the signal from 0730. Recently had not been able to hear the 2.5-watt signal, but today occasionally above threshold-level audio, better than normal propagation, or has there been a slight power increase? At 0742, there are bits and pieces from the distinctive segment of Russian interval signal, IDs in English as Radio Channel Eastern Star, and in Russian, a political spot about the socialist revolution. Most of the time, he says, I heard just a stronger-than-usual carrier, but some segments with positive music and singing. The best chance for reception is to catch the Russian interval signal segment, as it is the most recognizable feature. Definitely a challenge. Lucas Bandura replies about the exact frequency. I measured it on 7399.967 at 0708 UT. And Ron Howard explains, the reference to 7399.83 referred to a previous log on May 30th, but now it's much closer to exactly 7400. More about this via Ron Howard. The operator of the station indicated he was going to rebrand it as Kawaii FM. His plan, already a Japanese segment of the show on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evenings. However, on Sunday, June 18th, it was clearly in English and Russian. A lot of music, so he had not started Japanese 100% of the time. Enron got another reply, UT June 19th, that on June 18th he had successfully built and launched his first AM broadcast transmitter capable of putting out 100 watts, well, almost. Still needs some air conditioning to keep the place cool, and can't run full power for risk of blowing out something. Says the output power is like it was last time before the old radio failed, 9 watts carrier and 76 watts PEP or more. And he says, I do not know when I will get to renaming the station, if ever. It will just be the regular Japanese show on those 3 nights a week. I still have a ton of new music that has piled up and needs to be identified. And Ron says on June 20th, yes, a significantly stronger signal via the new transmitter on 7400, slightly on the low side. Heard from 1202 to 13 UT, playing a lot of music with very brief announcements in Russian, some with repeated theme music. 1223, the often heard segment with a child and a man speaking Russian. At 13, the start of strong interference from Alaska on 7395. Oklahoma, 780, KSPI Stillwater, a 250-watt daytimer, I heard on the air in the middle of the night, causing heavy interference to WBBM Chicago. June 17th at 0618 with rock music and IDs as Pete 94.3, named for its FM translator that derives from Pistol Pete, the still politically incorrect OSU mascot. In June and still in July, 780 KSPI is supposed to be off the air between 0145 and 1115 UT. It made a fast suborbital heterodyne, so it wasn't exactly on frequency, versus WBBM. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 2196, a non-commercial service, like our website, worldofradio.com. Thanks this week for generous financial support from Gerald T. Pollard in Raleigh, North Carolina, who sent a check to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702, as he does every seasonal change at the equinoxes and the solstices. Or may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO@yahoo.com. Ron Howard in California reports Radio Senda Cristiana, the New Peruvian, on 4820, June 20th at 1108 to 1128 UT, above average reception, and very pleased to actually catch a clear ID along with preaching and religious songs. But there was codar interference increasing. ID just before 1122 in Morse code, as we've determined before, WRPD 292, coming from further up the California coast. In the British DX Club, Paul Geiger in Vienna, Austria, reports hearing some English news headlines from Polish radio on longwave 225 kHz, Wednesday, June 21st, at 0704, 0804, and 0905 UT. He thinks this only happens in the summer, and these were followed by some news in German at 708, 808, and 908 UT, and more programming in German. In the PlayDX IO group, which still exists, despite the demise of its founder, Dario Monferini, Roberto Pavanello in Italy reports getting an EQSL from Warsan Radio in Somalia, WARSAN. He heard it on 7750 kHz USB, and the EQSL came after 4 days. He sent it to warsanradiobydoa@gmail.com. The reply was in English, and they have a logo WRT standing for Warsan Radio and TV, and this one was numbered number 157. We are confirming you heard our station on shortwave, a private and local radio, which comes through the initiative of Somali youth elites, operating since 1993 up to now in 2023. Warsan Radio programs start at 6 a.m. sharp in the morning GMT and end at 10:30 p.m. Warsan Radio has 5 main streams: FM 88.2, shortwave 7750, live stream at www.warsanradio.com, also on Facebook as Radio Warsan, and a Warsan Radio app. Signed then with a rubber stamp seal by Warsan Radio director Hilal Sheikh, I spell H-I-L-A-A-L, S-H-E-I-K-H. London, South Carolina, I got this inquiry from Brian McNeil in Macon, Georgia. I'm a casual shortwave listener, a question of no great importance, but I am curious. Brother Stare has been dead now for some years, yet his broadcasts are all over the airwaves, including AM stations. Do you know who is funding his post-mortem presence on the radio? In the old days, he claimed he was desperate for money to pay for radio time. Either he must have a wealthy benefactor, or the community he left behind is pooling its resources to prop up a corpse. There could be another explanation. My reply to him, sorry, I have no inside info on how the Overcomer Ministry survives. I can only assume that the money is still flowing in from dupes who either don't know he's dead or don't care. This is really not unusual. For example, Dr. Gene Scott still lives on the university network, like WWCR 5935, and 13845. Heirs are not about to give up a cash cow. The lesson, leave behind an extensive audio library of your rantings. Rick Barton in Arizona reports on 11430, a station in Chinese, believed to be Xinxing Guangguo Diantai, that's X-I-N-G, X-I-N-G, June 16th at 1300, sounded like a number station and suddenly went off at 1320, reopening with music at 1330 and off again at 1340. According to Ron Howard, this is the Star Star Broadcasting Station on Taiwan, and there are quite a few other frequencies and times it may or may not be on the air, according to info at radio.shobi.net. It's referred to as the number station V13. Via Martin Peters in the British DX Club, something from Radio Times about it. Program on BBC Radio 3. It's Sunday, June 25th at 22:30 GMT. Across the UK, 352 BBC transmitters stand mostly on the tops of hills. A group of recording engineers visited some of them in Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland and England, to listen to what the transmitters were hearing at exactly 11:30 p.m., starting at the transmitter atop Crystal Palace, moving through the country to finish in snowy Aberdeen. Hear how the sonic landscape changes the further north traveled. In the British DX Club, Paul Flanagan wonders why he's hearing a repeated announcement around 1615 UT on 9390. This is the BBC. There are no programmies on this channel at present. Wolfgang Büschel checked the schedules and says BBC has three Korean language broadcasts for half an hour at 1530, 1630, and 1730 UT on 9390 via Tajikistan. So apparently they're just leading the transmitter on with that announcement in between the broadcasts. And there are other such instances reported. Ricky Dong in Alberta says, if you go to bbcworldservice.com, there's exactly zero information about shortwave. Rather, that domain redirects to the BBC Sounds streaming service. I suppose the program schedule is potentially useful. Stephen Luce in Houston explains, to find shortwave frequencies on the website bbcworldservice.com, click on the program website link. On that page, scroll to the bottom and click on Help and FAQs. Then click on How Do I Find Out How to Listen to BBC World Service in My Area. Click on Shortwave Frequencies page and you're there. Agree the frequency schedule should be easier to find. Mike Terry forwards a story from Radio Today in the UK, dated 19 June. You might want to look it up. It's titled, Radio Remains an Essential Part of the In-Car Experience. That is at radiotoday.co.uk. June 20th at 2206 UT, the only 10-meter beacon I could copy barely was on 28209.3 K7EMX, which is in Kearns, Utah. It seems I've logged him before. He has an extremely large and entertaining page at QRZ.com. Lots of illustrations, YouTube links, and his comments. Via David Cole and Mike Cooper, here's a story we need to read in the Washington Post titled, Voice of America Drops Host Accused of Spreading Russian Propaganda. But it reinstated another reporter accused of the same thing. That's in WashingtonPost.com of June 17th. John Filiozzi comments, there has to be a lot more transparency from VOA on this and other matters. Declining comment or refusing to supply details is simply unacceptable. And Dan Robinson says, VOA hide behind a wall that enables them to cover up issues such as this, until that is, as in this example, employees themselves in the Russian service choose to stick their necks out by signing a petition that eventually becomes public. In 2020, after Michael Pack made public something that taxpayers might never have seen, findings that VOA had been in violation of background investigation authority procedures for years, he faced a rebellion by a group of VOA staffers who made the claim that there was no way any VOA employee would ever be a security threat, says Dan Robinson. And John Filiozzi replies, Pack did what he did for all the wrong reasons. This is what the recent investigation found. Pack's intent clearly was to further undermine the VOA charter and its expression of laudable journalistic principles, to turn USAGM and VOA into a mouthpiece of the Trump administration. I'm pleased to see on the latest WRMI schedule some additional times for World of Radio. Two more on 9395, which have now been confirmed, UT Sunday at 0130 and UT Thursday at 0130. And another time on 15770, Sunday at 2130, in addition to Saturday at 2230. But 7730 has been off the air again. We're on several other times on 9395, which provides good reception north-northwest from Florida across much of North America. UT Tuesday at midnight 30 and 2330, and UT Thursday at midnight 30. Another WTWW update from George McClintock as of June 21st. He says there's now still a possibility of reactivation if some airtime can be sold. Vines are now overgrowing the two WTWW buildings, and a tree fell over on one of the feed lines. Headquarters in Colorado is still paying the electric bill, which is at a minimum rate of $2,000 a month, but actual consumption has been nothing but air conditioning. Kai Ludwig finds that FAA information effective 15 June 2023 still shows the manager of Roseanne Airport in Morrison, Tennessee, as David France. Either that's out of date, or this refers to the son of the original David France, bearing the same name, that is, the former operator of WWRB. WMLK Pennsylvania has finally activated its second frequency, which they've been registering for years, 15150, aimed northeast toward Europe in the middle of the night. I first heard it June 19th, just before 06 UT, talking about Yeshua or Yahweh in English. Loud, but modulation was a bit rough. I did not hear any definite ID, but it had to be, as scheduled, WMLK. On the other hand, they have not been appearing every afternoon on 9275, which had been their only frequency. That appears to be quite irregular. I continued to hear them the next two or three nights on 15150, with a very good signal, into here and into Europe. And I could easily believe it's really 300 kilowatts as claimed. The schedule is at 04 to 09 UT daily, except Sabbath days. All 9275 is supposedly from 17 until 22. And WMLK has been very slow to say anything about this on their website, WMLKradio.com, or at their disgraced FB, while the last post, when I checked, was dated February 7th. According to the website, there are now three different members of the Meyer family, not only deceased Elder Jacob O. Meyer, but Elder Jonathan S. Meyer and Elder Nathaniel A. Meyer, all of them with lengthy sermons available on the website. There's also a live radio link on the website. It works, but was not parallel at all, not even the same speaker I was hearing on shortwave at that time. Congratulations to Professor Donna Halper, a member of our World of Radio group, and will also have been honored according to Radio World via Richard Langley. Now a radio consultant as well as an educator, Donna Halper also received the Hall of Fame Pioneer Award, the first woman to receive the distinction. Hall of Fame Committee Chair Peter Brown said this particular award is given to individuals who have distinguished themselves over decades for lasting contributions made to the broadcast industry and through a leadership role in their particular craft. Halper is also a frequent Radio World contributor. Well, this honor took place in Massachusetts at the Broadcasters Hall of Fame. Radio Vanuatu continues to be heard on 7260 only, before and after 07 UT, and probably at all times it's on the air. It's been there just about every night I've checked before 07, with a better signal than it had before. Ron Howard in California also monitors it. He says on June 16th it was Port Vila Day, with extensive coverage of celebrations. On June 17th there was an anomaly. Normally they close around 11 UT, but they were still going at 11:09 when they gave the time as 10 o'clock. Their clock must have been off. And they stayed on the air until 12:09 UT on that date, talking about the Melanesian Arts and Culture Festival. In the medium wave circle, Bjorn Mjelde refers us to his blog Arctic DX for thoughts on electric vehicles and radio interference. Should we worry? It's posted in June at arcticdx.blogspot.com. The propagation outlook from SWPC. Geomagnetic field should reach unsettled to active levels with ANK indices of 12 and 4 on these dates, June 22nd, 27th, 28th, July 1st, and 8th. And G1 to G2 minor to moderate levels likely on July 12th with ANK indices of 20 and 5 and 13th, 30 and 6. Beware. With many thanks to all our stations and contributors, hoping you've found this program informative. Glenn Hauser, concluding World of Radio 2196, with a standard disclaimer.